Jaguars driving from left to right. Bring out the I formation, Shelton and Taylor. Split receivers. Again, Javon Kearse moving all around. Now he's lined up across from Leon Searcy. Here's the handoff to Taylor right up the middle. He's got lane 40. There he goes, 35. He's at the 30, breaks a tackle, 25. He's at the 20. He's free at the 15. Breaks another tackle, and he's down near the 13-yard line. Denard Walker finally stops him, but Taylor goes for 30.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Fred Taylor, the greatest running back in Jacksonville Jaguars history? Or was it Natrone Means? You know, it could have been James Stewart.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe someday it'll be Leonard Fournette. Who am I forgetting?
Who's that other guy that they drafted early? Greg Jones.
Out of Florida State.
He might be my pick.
Powerhouse fullback
in the first round.
Ah, we kid Pocket Hercules, Maurice Jones-Drew. We're going to be talking with the guy who drafted him, and we'll recount how Jack Del Rio saw Maurice's draft, and we'll talk some Jaguars, and we dig in on, if you recall, the chopping wood incident, and Jack Del Rio, I think it was his rookie season as the head coach of the Jags, he put a stump of wood in the locker room and a big axe, and it was supposed to motivate you with the metaphor of like, hey, fellas, we just got to keep on chopping wood, and then it got sideways when the punter swung that axe, and so we'll dip into that story. Some great tales. We've already completed the conversation with Jack Del Rio. That's why I can confidently say you will enjoy it. We get into Jimmy Johnson and Mike Ditka and the Raiders and Derek Carr and Kyler Murray, if that's a possibility, and the coach makes a bold prediction about what quarterback they actually will draft in 2019. Mm. Spoiler alert, it is not Kyler Murray. In the meantime, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by Zaxby's, famous fingers, wings, and salads. We're heading to Nashville, Tennessee for the draft. Are you going, handsome?
I'm not, Dave.
You're not going to be there. You're not going to be a part of our Zaxby's live show.
I'm not currently scheduled to travel to the draft.
Dang, we're going to be doing a live show there. On what day? The 23rd, Spaghetti?
Tuesday the 23rd, yes.
Yeah, and there's early word that we're going to be talking with at least one of the Tennessee Titans.
Correct.
A recent draft pick there. That's about all I'll say on that subject. Maybe also a name or two from the world of entertainment, especially significant in that region of the country. And speaking of people who fit that description, Nate Bargatze, the star of the
great
brand new Netflix
week,
stand-up
Dave.
Special. Yeah, Nate Bargatze, the Tennessee kid. Find it on Netflix. Watch it. And while you're at it, why don't you go back and find the podcast, the DDFP, from earlier this week, where Nate and I spend, 45 minutes, Spaghetti?
He was here for about an hour, yeah, so about 45 minutes in the show.
Oh, it was a grand time. I really, a really fun dive into, you know, his comedy career and his football allegiances and his sports allegiances. He loves sports, as it turns out, really a deep knowledge about that. And we talked about all the important stuff. So make sure you go back and check that one out and check out the video show available at NFL.com/DDFP. Or if you happen to be near your computer, every Thursday, Spaghetti, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern.
You got it.
You can watch the live stream or track it down at your leisure and watch it at NFL.com/DDFP. All right, handsome, enough promotion. Let's talk like people. How are we, handsome? Oh, I didn't introduce him even. See, I got so swept up. All the way from London, England, a former Miami Dolphins fan, or on hiatus from that fandom, it's Handsome Hank. I'm going to play the whole thing, Handsome.
Okay. We don't have a lot of time, Dave. You're
right.
You've got a hard out.
You're right. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. How are you, Handsome?
I'm very well.
Are you excited, eager with anticipation? In a matter of moments, we'll share the Jack Del Rio conversation. You and me and Eddie Spaghetti are going to go through some headlines here.
Right.
Sports. And then the debut, the long-anticipated debut of the Thick Cast.
Spaghetti, play the music. Play the Thick Cast music.
What Thick Cast?
You didn't even get music for your dumb show? This is what happens when you get thick. When you get so thick, you get lazy.
We're not about the production. We're about the quality of the conversation.
True. I want you to do it. I think you got to do it in like a voice of somebody who's especially thick.
What are you eating today, Eddie?
Well, who do you think was a better nose tackle, Vince Wilfork or Casey Hampton?
I reckon halfway through the thing,
we should
just get up and leave to eat.
I'm just going to have
no
a salad.
Salad.
Hey, can I tell you why you guys have your show? I'm not sticking my nose into it. I just want to be a casual observer, a fly on the wall, a thick fly on the wall.
Yep.
You know,
like one of those really fat ones. You know, sometimes you see like the big old fly will come down and then it doesn't, can't even fly really anymore because it can't pull its
There's
weight
some of those
off the ground.
Fat ones that land on you in summertime and they hurt. Like if you let them sit there for a second or two, all of a sudden it starts to sting a little bit. What gives with that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Is that like the Jeff Goldblum
those
fly?
Type of flies. Those like are called horse flies. They
horse
bite you.
Flies. Yeah, they
bite
hurt. You. I don't like that. You know what I do like, though? So that's a frown. What makes me smile, though, that's our new segment, Frown and Smile.
Frown and smile.
Let's work on
this
a name
good,
for that.
Man. Let's just call it that.
Something that
sad face emoji, happy face emoji.
I feel like there's a meat out there
that
has been around since maybe even before I walked the planet Earth. Its name?
Dinosaur.
Salami. No. Salami's delicious. And I've started
fantastic.
To eat it a lot. I think
I've noticed it's in your salad.
Right. It's not a newfangled meat, you know, but it's spicy, it's zesty.
Great.
And you know
this
what?
This is new to you. Salami.
No,
is-
I used to eat. I remember when Mo Damashek when I'd open up my lunchbox in elementary school, I'd pop that lid and waiting inside there between two gorgeous slices of Town Talk. That was the local Pittsburgh bread. Town Talk. Get down to John Eagle and get some Town Talk. In between that, some salami. I would eat that for lunch every day. And I got away from it. I don't, you know, I'm embarrassed to say, but now I'm back on board. And I think that I'm calling for all of society to join me. Eat more salami. It's delicious.
I'm with you. I was notorious in my house. I was the scourge of the house, of the Hodgson house, for any time there was salami in the fridge. You know, it comes in the packet and they're like piled up, but not in a stack, in like a, they're piled
they
on
do
top
it.
Of each other, like papers might be, or magazines in a doctor's office or something. I would just eat the whole lot. Like they'd be in there. I'd see it in the fridge and I'd, one. And then it's like every, like little cold meat.
What the blue fella does on Sesame Street to cookies, Handsome Hank was doing the salamis. Encased
it got
meats.
To the point where my mom just decided we're not buying that anymore because it's not worth having it.
Seems like a
no
weird...
one else gets to try it.
Yeah, but her progeny, Henry, you've eaten all the salami again.
Exactly. That's what I would hear on a weekly basis.
But mom, I love it so. Please, more salami. No rubbish, you selfish little I don't know. Crumpet?
Crumpet, yeah.
Is a crumpet a person? Yep. Boy?
Yep.
It is. Okay.
You're just taking me all the way back to my childhood, Dave.
There it was. So, Josh Rosen, Eddie Spaghetti with some breaking news here. And then we'll, like I say, we'll get to Jack Del Rio. But we do talk about the quarterbacks there. Del Rio, you know, because I can cobble together after having spoken with David Carr a week or two ago, where he expressed that the Carr family in general is cautiously optimistic that Derek is the starting quarterback for the Raiders, but not 100% certain because it's murky. What does Mayock think? What does Gruden think? They're saying the right things, but then they're also looking at Kyler Murray.
They put almost every quarterback in this draft class into the building. So you can understand why Derek would be cautious about it.
But you do want to hear what Jack Del Rio has to say about this. So where do you about who he thinks the Raiders are actually eyeballing? Maybe it's not Kyler Murray, but it is one of those high-profile QBs as we head towards the draft. Spaghetti, what's the breaking news on Josh Rosen?
Josh Rosen, apparently Mike Garafolo said that the Washington Redskins are no longer interested in trading for Josh Rosen. He also believes that Josh Rosen will at least be a Cardinal until draft day. So nothing's going to happen from now until
that makes
draft.
Sense. Yeah. I mean, why? Yeah, because if you have Josh Rosen in the building, then you would think that the Cardinals' potential for getting a more valuable pick at number one is higher, right? No one's going to believe they're trading.
I guess
the
that's
first
right.
Spot
yes,
spot if they don't have an alternative in the building. So then that surely makes that pick a little bit more valuable.
And listen, Garofalo's been on here before and spoken with us about his prediction was that Russell Wilson will be potentially, I mean, he didn't, you know, put it in pen, but he did kind of etch it down in pencil on the show that he wouldn't be surprised to see Russell Wilson, the QB of the New York Giants, come 2020. But Jack Del Rio is saying otherwise. As a matter of fact, let's get into it right now, shall we, in advance of the Jack Del Rio conversation. It's time for this week's installment of Zaxville's Hot Takes, presented by Zaxby's. Zaxby's. Again, the famous fingers, wings, salads. And also starring Handsome Hank.
Hi.
Handsome and Spaghetti, feel free to weigh in here. How shall we address this one, Handsome? Russell Wilson, Jack Del Rio, has said on in another space, I think it was on Total Access here at NFL Network, a day or two ago, he thinks Russell Wilson isn't going to even be a Seahawk in 2019.
So Russell Wilson has said about a week ago now that he wants the deal done on tax day, on April 15th. He said next Monday that deal needs to be completed. And that is where Jack Del Rio decided that, you know, based on that, that there's a good chance that that doesn't happen, which seems likely. We're speaking to you on Wednesday. So there's only a few days left to go. We haven't heard any. Normally, the kind of details would sneak out that they're either close or not close on a deal. We haven't heard anything about the potential of a deal getting done.
I abide, though, by our pal Daniel Jeremiah's insights. He's generally kind of tied into these things. That's He's not recklessly speculating like Damashek does. I do pie in the sky. I would like to see that happen.
And pie in your stomach as well.
Oh,
pie anywhere.
I'm keeping my eye on this guy. Am I right, everybody? Be careful with yourself, thick cast. Anyway, But Garofalo, I mean, the thing that DJ and everybody else will always remind you of is don't believe what anybody has to say. So what could the Redskins say that would be compelling enough to make Garofalo believe? Yeah, that's a fact. Or is he just issuing the smoke screen? Josh Rosen still as it happens, I don't think Case Keenum is the answer.
I think whatever happens, the Redskins will have another quarterback in addition to Case Keenum or instead of Case Keenum on the roster by the time we get to May.
I would think so. Do you think Russell Wilson is a possibility?
I think Russell Wilson is a strong. I mean, if you let's think about the teams. Russell Wilson isn't. When you talk about Russell Wilson, you are looking beyond the teams right now that we know need quarterbacks. The Cardinals or you know any of the teams that the Broncos that are people are talking about taking a team in the draft. You then expand it to teams that maybe aren't completely sold on their quarterbacks. So then, you know, you've got the Redskins, you've got those teams, but then maybe the Cowboys are a team that, you know, like wouldn't Russell Wilson in Dallas make sense if they don't 100% believe in Dak and want to say like, we need this guy for the rest.
Ooh, wouldn't that be splashy?
That would be a fun one. There are, you know, there are all kinds of other places that then open up where like, You might discover that the Patriots would say Russell Wilson could be an option for us.
That keeps
the Patriots.
The overarching takeaway here is that when you have even big ticket players, the biggest of stars out there and potentially being traded, it makes the offseason dynamite. Or
it does.
In fact, it erases the offseason. This has been the most compelling offseason, I think.
Of all time.
Right? Is that fair to
no
say?
Doubt.
Are we prisoners of the moment, or is this the greatest offseason ever?
I don't think we've
even gotten to the draft.
Is there?
Well, I mean, there were, you know, yeah, what would even compare to it? The year Peyton Manning moved to Denver?
Maybe. There was that moment after the CBA got signed where lots of players suddenly moved around in 2000, whatever that was, 11. Immediately afterwards, and that was where the Eagles' dream team was born. But you know, I don't think there's any kind of comparison with Bell moving and
Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and OBJ. Odell have all moved this offseason,
right?
Via unorthodox methods. You know, you don't generally see those. I mean, I know Le'Veon Bell, but he's as big a free agent this side of Peyton Manning and Reggie White that free agency has ever seen. All three of those guys have changed.
So what is our hot take, Dave? What is our hot take here? But the fact that it's been an exciting offseason and that Russell Wilson could move.
I don't know.
Let's make a hot take.
Okay.
Take out of this.
Give it to me right now. You tell me where's Russell Wilson playing quarterback.
I'm not
going to
tell you where Russell Wilson's playing quarterback. I'm telling you that Russell Wilson will not be the quarterback of the Seahawks at the start of next season.
This coming season.
This coming season. And that he will be a quarterback on a team that you didn't think needed a quarterback.
Okay, let's say that's true. Here's the hot part that nobody is talking about. If that's true, then who is the quarterback for the Seahawks in 2019?
Someone in this year's draft.
Paxton Lynch. So this will all be settled by draft day. We'll know that the Seahawks suddenly are going to take a hard right turn. They'll surely get, if they were to move Russell Wilson, obviously they'll get at minimum a first round pick for it, if not multiple. multiple, and who knows what else they get on top of that. But you suspect
one day between now and when the day of the draft, what, Thursday, the 25th of April, one morning between now and then, you're going to be awoken by your phone buzzing. And that's going to be one of those alerts from the NFL mobile app telling you that Russell Wilson now plays for a different.
Here's the hot part. Is it possible? I don't follow enough of what's going on in celebrity news. But legitimately, when you hear about those celebrity marriages, like, oh, it's good for the other person. Is Sierra, you just spend time handsome and do find Handsome's great work along with some other people down there in Brazil with the
some
Wilsons.
Other people. Yeah.
Yeah. Russell and Sierra.
Yes.
Does she go by Sierra Wilson or is she still just Sierra?
I think, you know, in theory, on her passport, it might say that. Yeah.
Sierra Wilson.
Yeah. That's her last name.
How did you find her?
Wonderful. Really nice. Lovely, genuinely lovely lady.
How about Russell?
Very, very nice guy as well.
Yeah?
They're a great couple. Happy couple.
Did you get any sense from them, Handsome? Break some news here, but only...
I have no news I can break here.
Did Sierra say, like, yeah, Seattle's fine, but it's a little bit far from entertainment centers of America?
Coax that out of me. It's not the case.
Chargers and Rams. How about that? Hey, Jared Goff. Like, yeah, he didn't look so good in that Super Bowl. What if you come after here? Right. Russell Wilson. We'd love to be in L.A.
That's what I'm saying, though.
What about New York City?
Those are not teams that we're talking about as needing a quarterback. But when Russell Wilson's in play, there's probably only three or four teams that don't want Russell Wilson. So all of a sudden it opens up, you know, 25, 28 clubs that you didn't that could suddenly be in the market for Russell Wilson. And then there's the domino effect of whoever the guy is that's in that with that team gets shuffled down the line. It's exciting. That could totally change what we think about the draft 3 days before the draft happens.
It's interesting, and it also sort of supports my idea that we are very close to QB saturation in the NFL, that all 32 teams are pretty close to having a decent
QB. One club
QB.
Is holding out.
Who, DC?
The Miami Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins, right.
They're definitely holding out. They don't want to help you with that part of it.
Yeah, and I don't know that
I like Ryan Fitzpatrick, but...
That's fine. Yeah, that'll make for a
He'll fun, show up.
Make for a fun watch, if nothing else. Yeah, but... If you can, that's an interesting point, though, Handsome, that everybody's got a capable QB just about now, but a high-end quarterback is a difference maker. Russell Wilson, do you think that the Giants, can you imagine a scenario where the 2019 Giants make a run at, what would be the price? Eli? Well, Eli's not, if the Giants were to trade for him, Spaghetti.
It would just be the first three picks they have in this draft.
Eli Manning stays? Like, okay, hey, well, I mean, well, that would be too...
It
that
stinks
would,
because
that couldn't
they gave him the $5 million roster bonus, but the Giants would just trade Seattle the 6th pick, the 17th pick, and the 37th pick for Russ. That would be the trade. That's, like, one of the trades I think Jason Lockenfora pointed out, too. There's, like, two trade scenarios with the Giants. One actually involves Oakland. Oakland would just give their first three picks, all in the first round, to Seattle. The Giants get Derek Carr, and then Oakland gets Russell Wilson. Giants pick at 37, the next year's first-round pick. Those are the two he pointed out.
Ooh.
A lot of, or
JLC.
Another one I saw, too, that Florio from Pro Football Talk said the Cardinals, the Cardinals could just trade one for Russell Wilson if he's really, truly on the block.
Fun. That's what my.
They're not going to trade him in the division. The Cardinals are not getting Russell
Probably
Wilson.
Probably not.
I can tell you that right now. That's my other hot take.
I always say that, but then you hear stuff like, you know, when
not with
comes
a quarterback,
to
not with a quarterback, not with Russell Wilson.
If the Steelers would have traded, and it was apparently floated by Rosenhaus to Mr. Big Chest and considered at least briefly trade Antonio Brown to the Patriots, that would have been horrible. But at some point, if you want to move the guy,
the Patriots aren't in the division.
But they're the rival in the
game. Right, but you don't have to play that same guy twice a year. You don't have to see him across the line for me.
I do think the Steelers and the Chargers could also be in the mix for Russell Wilson as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
The Steelers, they're a year away from me. Yeah, the Steelers are definitely one of the teams.
They're 100%. Absolutely.
You are crazy, Dave.
If you think the Steelers.
That's the hot take of the second.
Yeah.
They're definitely involved.
Says who?
Says us. That's the point I just made. The Steelers are not one of the 28, one of the four or five clubs that don't need a quarterback. They're a year or two
Russell
away.
Russell Wilson.
At most, Ben Roethlisberger will
Russell
not be
Wilson
playing.
Is not better than Aaron Rodgers. Probably better, all things considered, than Tom Brady, given Brady's age. I'm just saying who you would rather
Definitely
have
better than Ben Roethlisberger. as a player and given that he has another 10 years left. You're crazy to think that there's no way the Steelers will be interested. If the Steelers are looking ahead for a long term.
I don't think they are. I think they're trying to be a player in 2019. I think they want to make a
Russell Wilson would be, he has to learn the system. You're crazy.
Roethlisberger doesn't have his contract yet either.
How much longer do you think Ben plays for?
2 more years.
So you'd rather just be happy for the next 2 years and then move on to Mason Rudolph or Josh Dobbs, or I know that you now, like, there are no Steelers players left and you've defended, like, AB was your guy and now he definitely isn't because he's been mean to people. And Le'Veon Bell was the best running back since Barry Sanders, which are words you said on this show. And now he's not on your team. And so you can't, all your chips are on Ben Roethlisberger. He's retiring 2 years from now at best, maybe 1 year. And you're telling me you wouldn't take Russell Wilson over him today if you had that opportunity to keep the Steelers alive.
I'm just trying to think, given all those factors, there's something to what you're saying.
The other factor is what it assumes is
now you're talking like NBA level 3-team deals where you're moving a name brand QB, whether it's Eli or Derek Carr or Roethlisberger. That guy's got to move. You're not going to have that guy stick around if Russell Wilson.
And the
comes
problem
in.
With Roethlisberger is, I think we know by now, he's probably not your bridge quarterback. He's not that you don't bring him to take him to Arizona and then say, okay, Kyler, learn from Ben for a couple of years.
Learn at his knee.
He'll help you.
Oh, Mason Rudolph said he was fine.
The one thing hurting the Steelers too is in the Seahawks have come out and said they only have 4 picks in this draft and they want to get way more picks. The two teams that do have a lot of picks, one being the Giants, one being Oakland. So I that's the one thing that probably does hurt the Steelers in this regard. I don't think the Steelers are going to do it,
but if you tell me that they're not one of the teams that would be interested, you're crazy.
I'm telling you they're not one of the teams that's interested. They're just not going to do that unless...
I'm not saying they would do it.
Unless behind the scenes.
You can't rule them out.
I've ruled them out, barring this, and it's a legitimate point, is if that behind the scenes, that Roethlisberger deal is still not done. And, it's quietly kind of keeps... Each week keeps going along when it was supposed to be done a while ago now. I don't know if there's some conflict there, then I guess that could be. Anyhow, all right. I don't know if we actually asserted.
That was a hot take. I think the temperature over the course of it was hot. It was like,
after
a while, you'd be like, this is too hot for me.
It's not when you
first get in, it's not too hot. But then when you're in for a while, you're like, okay, this is hot now.
Thus ends another edition of Zaxville's Hot Takes presented by Zaxby's. And now let's get to, stick around because the thick cast is on the other side of this. But right now, the longtime coach of the Jags and the Raiders and the USC star and a football playing star. And learned at the knee of Jimmy Johnson and Mike Ditka. So many great stories, so many great thoughts and predictions for what's about to happen in this draft from a man with a dynamite head of hair, Jack Del Rio.
Dave, Dave.
Well, you know this guy if you've been watching football for, I don't know, the last 3-4 decades. I really think not unlike they do the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I think that if you're focused on pro football, you could do 6 degrees of Jack Del Rio, and it wouldn't be very hard to connect to just about every name in the NFL. How are you, sir? Welcome to the DDFP.
I'm doing great. Doing great. Thank you.
All right, let's jump into it. Let's cover. We have a lot of ground to cover here. Like I say, you've hit a lot of football cities over the years.
Yeah. 34 years playing and coaching.
Well, excellent stuff. And like I said, as you sat down here, I watched you as a player, and then watched you as a coach, and saw the teams. And first question is, how does the Sean McVay influence strike you? It seems as though everybody in the last 3 months has kind of seen the success of McVay with the Rams and said, we want to do that. And they've gone out and hired McVay doppelgangers to try and repeat that success.
Exactly. Well, let me start by saying I did fly back from Florida at one time with McVay, and we rode in first class. So I was together with him for a few hours. If anybody out there, wants to hire a guy that's gone a couple hours on the plane with McVay.
Oh, I see. I see. I you're sending a message to everyone out there.
Come on.
I don't know. They might be. I feel like most teams.
You're like, where the hell is he going with that?
Yeah, I was waiting to hear. I thought you were going to share another gem McVay's a genius because. No, you know him well enough.
No,
yeah,
he's a great guy. Some guys are natural leaders. He's a natural leader. He's not just an offensive mind. He's a natural leader, and that's what he's been able to do, go in there and inject passion into that program and smart hire in Wade Phillips. Bring a guy in that you can leave him alone on defense and let him do his thing, and you can take the offense and grow it. So it was very smart with them going and getting him, and he's done a great job. But there are only so many of those guys.
Yes, right. You don't just hire somebody who happened to know him. I hope you're the exception to that. But otherwise, yes, just because you've come into contact with McVay does not imbue that guy with
offensive. I may have been infected at that time, and I may be ready to go now.
This was a cross-country flight, after all, of course. Yeah, right. It wasn't. But do you think that, because I've been told by guys who've spent a lot of time in pro football, that there will always be defensive coordinators, especially given a full offseason to try and to adapt to what they have on film from the prior season, will figure things out. Do you think that Belichick, in fact, already figured that out in the Super Bowl, and will everybody copycat what the Patriots did to slow down?
Well, a couple teams slowed them down. If you look at what Fangio did with the Bears defense, they slowed them down. Mm-hmm. If you look at what Belichick did with the Patriot defense, they slowed them down. So there's the ebb and flow. You know, there'll be more innovation. There'll be subtle changes, I'm sure, to their system. But he's done a good job with it. But it's always offense gets ahead, defense catches up, defense gets ahead. You know, it always goes back and forth. It's cyclical. And that's the biggest way to look at it.
So, in other words, you are a defensive guru. Now,
I'm an offensive guru.
But now you also know
I spent a few hours with McVay.
That's what I'm saying. You're the total package,
Del Rio. Right.
Jack of the river, right?
Exactly right.
Is that all right to call you that? Is that too familiar?
I answer to a lot of things.
Okay.
Yeah, ask my wife. But let me just tell you that, it is a treat being on here. Uh-huh. And I look forward to seeing what else you have for me today.
All right, here's my next question for you. Greatest Jacksonville Jaguar running back of all time.
Who?
You coached some good ones.
Yeah, well, there are two right there.
Who?
Well, the one I drafted, I'm very special to, very special to me, and that is Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, really?
All right. So, he's
special to me too. His jersey hangs on our wall of fame here.
I fell in love with him. I was at the combine, mm-hmm. and I'm watching this explosive guy on the field, and I'm like, we have to get this guy. We got to find a way to get this guy. We got him in the second round. Mm-hmm. Great player for us. But I got to tell you, I have to give a shout-out, even though I'm going to go with MJD over him, with Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor's a beast. I mean, he was really good. I got him toward the tail end of his career.
That's really where he started. The knock on him for the early part, I don't have to tell you, was that if he only could stay healthy a little bit, but then towards the tail end of his career, he was on the field all the time
We had him on the field at the same time, both those guys. And we ran all over people. So both those guys are special.
Isn't it time to get back to that? Isn't it time to put two threats on the field at one time in the backfield like that?
No, because they weren't on the field at the same time very often. They weren't, but we... very little of that, but we did utilize the 1-2 punch and got a lot of juice out of him.
Now, I don't want to bring up a sore spot. Maurice will be very flattered by your kind words. However, Maurice has recounted for me on more than one occasion his melodrama of a draft experience. Mm-hmm. Tony Dungy said, keep your phone line free. I'm about to call you back. We're about to draft you. We want you. I personally want you. Dungy never even called Maurice back. By the time Jack Del Rio picked up the phone, according to Maurice, he wasn't even happy to get the call. What do you remember from that? He said, fine, coach, I'll show up. Whatever, I don't care.
I don't remember that. Everybody has their own experience, right, from their perspective. So I did not share in that. I was excited to add him. By the way, if we're talking about Maurice, mm-hmm. you still owe me a breakfast, okay? USC beat UCLA. You owe me a breakfast, so I'm waiting.
Oh, I was assuming he ate your breakfast.
All right.
He's done that to me. He's eating.
Oh, he'll
food.
Do that. No, I see. I've seen.
He's eating food.
He's got a little bigger since he played for me.
I didn't say it, but I will tell you, I was in a restaurant with him once, and he finished his food, and then before I knew it, my food was off my plate. And I'm an eater too.
He didn't get as puffy as he is by pushing away his plate.
I have nothing to do with this conversation, Maurice. That's him.
Uh-huh.
You're the guy who you always talk so nicely about, Jack.
You know I love you.
Best USC linebacker ever.
Carl Banks.
Oh, I was wondering if you would go with 55 Willie McGinnis or Jack Del Rio.
Willie, if I was trying to suck up, I would have went with Willie because obviously he's here, the NFL Network.
Uh-huh.
But no, Carl Banks, who I played 1 year with, he was just an unbelievable football player.
What's going on there? Do you keep your eye, I assume, on what's going on at USC and what's been a pretty disappointing stretch here over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think last year was disappointing. You know, Clay came in, had a pretty good run the first couple of years. So, you know, I'm hoping he gets it going again this year. I mean, I love to see the program doing well. And hopefully, you know, they stuck with him this year, which I think was the right call. Unless they were going to hire me, and they weren't going to hire me. So I think it was the right call, and I'm pulling for Clay. I think he'll get it done.
Well, you have a Super Bowl ring. You've had a lot of success both at college as a player, as a coach as well. What you always hear people talk about, it's the losses that stick with you more than the victories do. Is that true for you? Do you look back on specifically 2016 and the Oakland Raiders and what appeared to be a team headed towards the Super Bowl? Do you think about that?
No.
You don't? You've moved on from that?
No, yeah. I mean, I don't dwell on the negative. Life has been great, and there's a lot more in front of me to continue to enjoy. But you know, that was a year where, you know, we started out coming out of camp, Donald Penn holding out, ugly holdout. That year never got going. We didn't have the same type of, we had a core of special teams guys. We lost about five core guys off our special teams units. And these were like the fabric of our roster. They weren't the stars, but they were really good players. And we lost those guys and, decided it wasn't doable to sign him to bring him back. So we, you know, spent the money, gave Donald Penn an extension that he probably didn't deserve, went out and got Marshawn. You know, he really didn't impact us in a significant way. I mean, the way we hoped, you know, we hoped he would give us a jolt in the running game, and it never, I mean, he was okay, and we were just okay. And it was that kind of year, but what we had done the year before is put the Raiders back on the map.
Well, that's why I guess. I got my year wrong. I'm thinking then of 2015 when Derek goes down right at the tail end right before Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe I got my years mixed up. 15, 16, 17 is when I was there. So 17 was the disappointing year that I was just talking about.
Okay.
16 was a magical year because we had incredible buy-in. We became a true team. We had done the previous year, we had kind of learned how to be accountable, how we'd be selfless. Guys were all on board, and Derek, we were magical at the end of games, stealing games, you know, we maybe shouldn't have, and Derek was awesome, and our offense was exciting, our defense was opportunistic, we got a lot of turnovers that helped, and we had that kind of year where we would have been dangerous. And then on Christmas Eve, all right, the Grinch came and stole Christmas. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It really was heartbreaking because in the moment you could see on Derek's face the way he just sort of plaintively looked up and I assume at you.
It's broke.
And you said, it's broke. Yeah, it's broke.
It's broke. I know. It was sad. So, yeah, that was a sad finish to what was a great year.
And as far as Derek goes, I don't know, you do not hold on to the past, you say. It seems as though their new wide receiver is clinging a little bit too much to what happened and pointing fingers back to Pittsburgh. And it seems to me that 2019 is less about Antonio Brown than it is about Derek Carr, unless the Raiders go and do something to get Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins or somebody like that.
Or Drew Lock.
Oh, right.
Who they coached at the Senior Bowl.
Interesting. Ooh. That comes into play. If they don't.
If they slipped and fell in love, it'd be right there. I mean, I doubt. I it could happen, but anything's possible. I mean, John Schoen, he'll do whatever the heck he thinks he wants to. So, But, you know, to me, are they going to draft Kyler and put him under center? Because John likes to run a lot of traditional under center offense. So I don't see them doing that. I think Kyler needs to be in the shotgun all the time. Now, that would shock me if he went there, but.
Well, do you, because the narrative has changed a little bit. It was only a couple of years ago that Derek was in line to be the MVP, maybe.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, you know, Gruden's looking in one direction. From what I understand, Mayock may be intrigued by some other arms versus Kyler Murray. Either way, it feels like
Drew Lock's the one. I'm just going to throw it out there. If it happens, it's going to be Drew Lock. That's my guess.
Oh, you heard it here first, everybody. Because my intel is, and I think Jack Del Rio maybe knows better than Damashek does. I've heard that it's Dwayne Haskins that Mayock fancies. Okay. But like I say.
Well, Mayock, who knows? Mayock, but Mayock's
I see.
Mayock's not running the show. John's running the show. So, you know, now Mayock should be listened to because Mayock is highly intelligent, been following these players. I think that was a great hire. Mm-hmm. I think he does a tremendous job. I think he's very intelligent, and he has a lot of sources in the football world. And I think that's going to serve them very well to have him in charge with all those picks they have.
Let's say it's Kyler or Locke or Haskins, or do you stay with the incumbent if it's Jack Del Rio? Do you like Derek Carr under center for the 2019 Raiders?
Oh, that's a good question. I like Derek. I know what I can do with Derek. I would have to know more about the quarterbacks, and I'm not sitting on the fence on you. I'm just telling you, I'd have to know more about those quarterbacks other than the TV scouting that I've done before I were to do something like that. I think Derek can play. I think he can win with Derek. We proved that. We won 12 games with Derek. So, but it just depends. They had a year with him, and the question will be, do they give him one more year or do they pull the plug already?
Well, that's what's interesting.
They know how they feel about their quarterback. So we're going to find out what they really feel about their quarterback.
I guess they could get through 2019. There's still some more good arms
through,
on the
you
way.
Might as well get on. If that's what you're doing, you think you're just getting through, or maybe they give them a year to prove it. I don't know. But to me, they had one. They should know by now.
What would you do? Because you've been around, but there have been a lot of. It's interesting that I've talked with a few people who've said to me that in the 21st century, the thing that a lot of old school franchises don't really know how to handle is the rise of social media. And you can maybe point to on some level that individuals using their cell phones during practice, otherwise making it about me, and how do we manage that as an organization and limit that or allow it to some degree. It feels to me like some of the Antonio Brown stuff is owed to social media use. What would you be saying right now to Antonio Brown, who is sending volleys back to former teammates and blaming them?
Fortunately, I don't have to worry about that. I can be entertained. So I'm actually entertained, and I can't wait to see how John handles that. And I can't wait to see if the first month it doesn't go the way Antonio wants and he lashes out at the Raiders or at John. I can't wait to see what kind of face John makes after that happens. You know, it's like that's theater. That's fun. So I'm going to be a fan and just enjoy it.
Fist bump, Jack Del Rio. Like that because you know what? I say the same thing. The same people, or at least some of the same people, who celebrate WrestleMania and they love the storylines and everything else are bent out of shape about Antonio Brown poking at Juju.
He's gone where you shouldn't go.
I get it. But isn't it kind of isn't that what we enjoy?
Oh, it's fun.
We like the narrative.
Get the popcorn.
Are you one of these guys, even though you moved around, it's interesting because you played for a bunch of teams, you coached with a bunch of teams, you're not then, you don't abide by some code of we're all on the same team kind of vibe. It seems like 21st century players with the impact of free agency these days, it's more about, hey, we're all players, we have to take care of each other. But to the fan, we want you to dislike each other. If you're on the Raiders, you have to hate every guy on the Chiefs. Right. We don't like this jersey exchange on the field. Do that privately. Right. Don't do that publicly.
Yeah, that's old school thinking.
Right or no?
It's old school thinking. I mean, that's just not where today's athletes are. So that might be a part that you just don't, you know, it's like in college for the most part, you don't move around. A little bit more now than ever. But, you know, so you have those loyal followings, you know, where you don't want to have the wrong color on game day, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's different in the NFL. The NFL is a business, and I think the players understand that more and more, that they could be gone tomorrow. Look how many rosters turn over. How many players are in Oakland? All right, I was last there in 17.
Mm-hmm.
We're only crazy. In 19.
Right.
How many players are still there? I don't even know the answer, but it's not many. It's less than 10. It might be less than 5.
This is legitimately, I don't want to make too big a deal out of this, but I feel like this is a little bit of a gathering storm where we sit now. Mm-hmm. As the players become more and more in that, adopt that mindset. The fans, of course, still only root for a team. They like the team. And like I always say,
A lot of fantasy players out there, but go ahead.
You know what? That's a good point you made.
Yeah, yeah.
You're one step ahead of me every question I ask, and I don't think I care for that, Jack Del Rio. Nevertheless, I do think, I always say, when people give me trouble about I'm a Steelers guy, and so I say we and us. We need to do this or we need to do that. You're not on the team. Listen, I've been rooting for that team for decades now. I care more about the fate of that team than the guy who got drafted 3 months ago does, right? I'm allowed to do that, but I think that what we need to do is, you know how WWE has its writers? We need somebody like me, maybe somebody like you. Maybe you and I could team up and we could tell people the right things to say, like we hate all the Broncos, you know, like mean-spirited stuff against your division rivals. We need some of that heat, don't we?
No, you don't need that.
We don't need that.
You don't need this. It's all pure. Just let it happen.
It's so fun.
Let it happen organically. You know, that's too contrived.
That's one step too far.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're crossing the line there.
Tell me about the chopping wood.
What about it?
I like to talk about, you know, coming up with little bits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was I Maurice tells me about that as
right.
well. He told me about what went on there.
There are two things I learned from that particular incident. One, that place kickers and punters have too much time on their hands. Okay? All right. Two, never allow a third string tight end. Okay? Never allow him into the locker room with a sharpening knife or a sharpening blade.
Is that what happened?
Yes. He's like, I can make this thing so sharp that I can drop a piece of paper on it and it just shred it. And he did. That's how sharp he had it. The problem was when Chris Hansen took it and went through right through and came and damn near chopped his own leg off. I mean, it was, well, not that bad. But it was pretty bad. Yeah, so that was...
Were there some guilty
That was
nights?
One that went a little too far.
Were there guilty
great
nights
idea.
For you?
Keep chopping. It was a great idea.
Jack of the River went one step too far on that day.
I learned a lesson.
So did Chris Hansen. What are your
He was an accident-prone guy now. Chris is the kind of guy that would run out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the only guy I ever saw that would run into the bench. Like, most people slow down. Most people slow down. You know, you're going out of bounds, like, put the brakes on, okay. You know, no, he would run right into the bench full speed. It's like, dude, you know, brake sign.
I hear you.
All right.
That was a great anecdote right there. Yeah. Now, a couple more before we wrap it up here. Tell me, like I say, you're connected to everybody, so many legends, a legend yourself here in Southern California. Jimmy Johnson. What was that fellow like to be playing with as the Cowboys rose up in the early 90s?
Jimmy was awesome.
Was he?
I love playing for Jimmy.
Because?
Because he reminded me what I loved about football, of the competing, the demand. You know, I was kind of cutting corners first few years of my career, and Jimmy, you know, he caught me one day. I was like 30 seconds late for work, and he was just sitting there, and he's like, I've been watching you. You've been cutting corners. And it finally caught you today, didn't it? He said, because you've been walking in, breezing in here, you know, 30 seconds before we get started. And I'm watching you, and I'm watching this. And he's like, there's no cutting corners here. You better get your blankety blank going again. And I was like, and I kind of like a light went off, and I started competing my butt off. And I won a starting job and continued playing there at a high level. And I credit him. Now, years later, okay, I'm down with the Miami Dolphins. And he wants me to be his linebacker. Okay. All right. I'm close to hanging him up. All right. He talks to me. Come on down. You're going to be my guy. Then he drafted Zach Thomas. So one Sunday after a preseason game, I get a call. It's Jimmy. And my wife's like, why is he calling? I said, I don't know. Maybe he wants to make me a captain. I'm not sure. So I drive down to the stadium, and I look, and when I come in, there he is with tears, you know, kind of welled up.
Huh.
And I'm like, uh-oh, that's not a good look. Of course, he let me go. So
that's nice, though, that he got choked up. That's how much he cared about
you. No. He told me I was his guy. Anyway, I moved my whole family down there. All right. So, rather than get mad and carry on,
you slugged them.
I just thanked them for the opportunity and went about my business. Well, 3 years later, I got an interview with Wayne Weaver of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Or 4 years. 4 years later. All right. Jimmy Johnson suggested that he talk with me. In that interview, I became the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars just 4 years after playing that last time. So the lesson to be learned for those out there that are following is do the right thing, because world's a circle and things come back around.
It's so right. Yeah. Isn't that right? You think you have these
you think
dark
he would have
fantasies.
Said anything? If I would have got up and grabbed him by his collar, you think he would have recommended me?
Yeah, I don't think you would have been hired by the Jags. That's a fascinating tale. Do you think Jimmy Johnson would be sort of the perfect guy to manage? Obviously plenty successful, and I suspect that if he and Jer don't have their falling out, that team probably wins
couple more.
Four or five Super Bowls. Yeah. But as it is he sort of the perfect? Did he have the perfect approach back in the early 90s for 2019 in this era? Now
absolutely.
Where you have big star type guys,
you can't do anymore what he did back then because the players were worked too hard.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Well, in their opinion, not Jimmy didn't think they worked hard enough, but he worked that off season program was a development. Off season. I mean, you were developing power, you were developing conditioning, you were developing mental grit, all those things. Running 110s, for time, Jimmy really knew how to drive a team.
And there were there different rules? I mean, that's people always say
they made the rules now because of what he was.
And were you then miffed as somebody who was not on the good side of the rules, of the easy rules?
I wasn't miffed. To me, you adapt, you become, relevant for today's times, and you do what you can. So I didn't spend a lot of time worrying about that.
All right. And we got to wrap. We didn't even get to Ditka, and I wanted.
I love Ditka. My all time favorite.
Yeah.
He's the one that gave my start with a handshake.
He didn't have the perm at the time.
No perm.
Because the perm was a weird look. You've got a great head of hair, you know?
I still have my hair. I'm pretty happy.
I see that. I just complimented you. Yeah, I'm not talking about 10 years ago. I'm talking about right now.
Right
you got
now,
nice
I'm still,
hair.
Still hanging in there.
Yeah. I like the silver, too. That looks nice.
Just a little touch.
Very nice.
But Iron Mike, I just want to finish with
this.
Okay,
please.
Because Iron Mike, he gave me a chance with a handshake. I left a note for him with my number. He called, asked me to come in. I went in. He offered me a deal. He said, I don't know what I can pay you, but he stuck his big paw out, and I jumped on that thing, and here I am, 34 years later.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great story to end on. I will jam in my story. My mother grew up in the same neighborhood with him in Aliquippa, PA, and she wasn't allowed to play with him and his brother because they used to pull down girls' underpants. And later I asked Ditka about that, and he said, that sounds like me.
Yeah, that's true.
He said, that sounds like me. Hey, enough about Ditka. Great stuff, though, from Jack Del Rio. We hope to see you land in pro football, maybe USC. Could do a lot worse. You and Willie McGinnis. That'd be nice. He could be the DC or something like that.
You never know.
All right. Jack Del Rio, everybody. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dave.
You're listening to David Damashek.
All right. I mean, all that stuff was great, handsome. Drew Locke, maybe.
Mm. I could see it. When John Gruden used to I don't remember what network that was on, but he used to do a sort of pre-draft quarterback coach thing.
I do recall that.
I feel like Drew Locke would have been one of the guys that he'd have really got excited about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with
so
that big arm.
With a big arm and like he's a big, tall,
Here's a little bit of a hot take too.
What if Antonio Brown, I float the idea for my own amusement, if nothing else, but I also think he'd be a practical fit for the Pittsburgh Steelers to replace Antonio Brown, Hollywood Marquise Brown, his cousin, Antonio Brown's cousin, and it would be funny with the Brown on the back of the jersey.
Just roll it out. Brown 84.
And then
nothing happened.
Then all the people back in Pittsburgh who burned their jerseys would feel like heels as they go to the store and try and buy a new one, all that kind of stuff. But the other side of that is, you know, Al Davis, what he would have loved is Marquise Brown in this draft.
Yep.
Just the high-end burning speed like that, along with big arm Derek Carr. That also is intriguing. And also, AB, it feels like all of a sudden, could use a little goodwill, you know, like him, some opportunity to show him good guy and ended up with a teammate. Well, that certainly would happen if it was a family member, right?
Right.
If he's going to be cool with anybody getting targets that isn't him, you would think it would be Marquise Brown.
But you said Carr. I mean, maybe you can still get Locke and Brown with the Raiders the number.
Yeah, they could.
Then it can be Locke, Brown, and Brown.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see that go down.
And then the Carr family maybe are taking their show on the road to Washington.
Boy, I can't. This is really exciting. It's just like we're not just
speculating. You've got Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. I mean, everything's coming together.
Wait, I thought Eli was the quarterback for the Steelers based on your three team. I can't even keep it straight anymore. Let's get to it. We can have that conversation at a later date. I don't want to wait another minute. Yes. What do you want?
We can't leave this room, Dave.
You're right.
I realize it's time for the thick cast, and I know you've got a hard out in 10 minutes, but this is the last time we could talk before Game of Thrones.
Though. I know, dude. And people love it.
So I spent, just quickly, I had a 12-hour flight last week. Mm-hmm. I revised for, like you would for an exam. I watched all of season 6, all of season 7 of Game of Thrones. I think I know what's going on.
Do you really?
I really did. I needed those moments to get myself together.
Do I send, much like the ears? And by the way, we didn't cover the ears thing, Handsome. I don't know if you guys saw them. You and Spaghetti saw as many as I did.
Oh, we saw so many ears. Thank you, guys.
Handsome called out for ears about a fortnight ago to prove that you were actually listening at the very end of the show.
Thank you for the ears,
amount
everyone.
Of ears we got was
It was crazy.
It was weird
I'm still getting ears now, actually.
It was weird that I got to find myself vaguely emotional. About people sending me pictures of cartoon ears.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, that's really touching.
It
another
is touching.
Ear.
Those
got
guys
another ear.
They listened all the way through our nonsense about Game of Thrones.
Now, give us your theory.
I don't have a theory.
Oh, I thought you just said know what's going on.
No,
oh,
I know what's
going on.
I actually know what everyone's trying to do, where everyone is, when they left off. I feel like, you know, if you do that, it was a very intense program that I did where I watched them all back to back to back to whatever. And I really, you know, I know where everyone is going. I know what they're doing. I know who's sided with who. What I hadn't caught at the end of the last one, and this might be news to everyone else, certainly will be to you. Cersei basically ran off her brother. She was like, no,
I love her. Both are brothers,
Theon is now on Team Cersei, and I think that old. Ironhand is heading up to go help Danny and that team.
Which one is he?
You know,
the black.
Her brother,
Jamie.
Oh, Jamie Lannister.
Ironhand. I thought you were talking about the guy who has the Iron Islands. Guy.
Jamie's headed.
The kooky guy.
He's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah.
The Iron Islands guy.
Well, no, the uncle. He killed.
No, I know, but
Balon Greyjoy.
Theon.
Yeah. Can I tell you?
Balon Greyjoy he's perished for a while.
Theon, though, is the one who's now in bed, and he'd like to be in bed with Cersei.
My update for you, Handsome.
Yes.
I thought, I decided, well, let's rewatch. Let's watch the last season. We're not going to get through all every season, but we can get through the full final.
Yeah, so I did 6 and 7.
So we went to watch, and we started watching 7. And okay, I remember this. And okay, now I'm in. And right at the end, when the dragon comes and the bad dragon comes and he lasers the wall down, I realized then and only then, like, oh, we've been watching the finale. We haven't watched the whole season at all. I had no idea where we were
okay.
in the
well,
season.
Well, at least, I mean, that's better than nothing.
Yeah, so at least I'm up to speed on that, yeah. But I still am not really clear who anybody is. I still don't fully grasp
see. I'm not
what's
like if
on.
I think I timed it exactly right because I think I'll be able to maintain the memories I have all the way through.
And Lannister, so Jaime and Cersei, you know,
they had an argument. You watched it.
They like to be nude together on occasion.
Yep.
which is considered inappropriate in some societies for a brother and sister. And then Jon Snow and Daenerys, Mother of Dragons, also take their clothes off with each other.
Yes.
And it turns out they're brother and sister, right?
Well, or they related. Don't know that yet. The difference is Cersei and Jaime are well aware of their family
ignorance
situation,
isn't an excuse.
And that doesn't seem to be a problem. In fact, Cersei's now embraced it quite a lot. Whereas I have a feeling that Jon Snow and Daenerys are going to be slightly tortured by the fact that they've been doing things that brothers and sisters definitely shouldn't.
No. Okay, so you've put your foot down. No one wants your
morality.
Personally,
I don't think you should do that.
Okay, that's a good dive. Now, the football and pop culture conversation has ended for the DDFP. Here it is, everybody. The debut of The Thick Cast. I'm just going to sit here and eat a salad while you guys do it. Here it is again, everybody. The Thick Cast.
All right, Hank.
Hey, Eddie.
I came up with a couple topics for the first one.
I like the list of topics you got.
Yeah,
here.
the first two kind of go hand in hand. So I just had friends visit. I'm mm-hmm. sure you have friends and family.
Yeah,
I do have friends and family. I know, I figured that. And then when they come here and you want to show, like, oh, what's
does
something?
Does incessant chewing of food add to
it
the
helps,
thick
yeah,
cast?
Helps.
I think
it does. Actually, yeah. the laughter track, the equivalent of a laughter track for the thick cast
okay,
is you
okay.
eating. In the
I like
track.
That. I really, see, that's selling the brand. Yeah. I'm sorry for my interruption.
No, that's yeah. perfect. When they come here and they're like, oh, I want something LA, something local, where, like, what do you bring them? What do you like give them? Like, what's a taste of it? Is it seafood? Is it tacos? Is it like, I know there's a couple famous chicken and waffles places, a lot of great Jewish delis here. What's the place you're like, oh, this is LA food, this you have to try this?
That is a great question, Eddie. I think it's tacos where I would normally go. That's what I would go for. I do, you know, there are a couple of like my favorite places which aren't necessarily specifically LA, but they're great food in LA that I'll take people to. There's a little joint down near where I live in a place called Playa del Rey that has, I believe, the best burger I've ever eaten.
What's
in my
it
life.
Called?
Really?
It's called Triple. It's a little like Belgian beer bar, but ooh. Then it also has great food in there, and the burgers in there. They have a burger which is made from duck confit, truffle, and something else. And you can literally only eat it once every 6 months because you feel so full and like you've eaten the best thing in the world, but also at the same time, the most filling thing in the world, that you can't do it more often than that. And I reckon I am, and the fact that I'm drooling while talking about this just reinforces it. My 6 month hiatus is
on. Oh, that sounds divine.
I need to have one soon. Eddie, maybe we should go do it.
I would love to.
It's an amazing, amazing hamburger.
So then you rate how I did. I brought my group to Barney's Beanery once mm-hmm. because it's an LA staple. There's a bunch of them all around. I brought them to Verse Kusha downtown.
Yep. I love that place.
Got some wieners there.
I tell you what, almost better than the wieners down there is the double duck fat French fries.
The French fries are
good. They are cooked in duck fat. Ugh. So they're just a little fattier and a little crisper, and I think they're twice fried or something.
There's a nice brown crisp, and then you get two different sauces, did pesto, mayo, chipotle, aioli.
You get two different sauces if you're an amateur at this game. If you're a professional, you go and you say, I'd like to pay extra for all seven of the different sauces.
How about, you know what?
And
you guys need to have like a branded...
The curry ketchup. David, you...
You're right. I'm interrupting. I'm just trying to help you guys. I think that there's something with, like, it keeps coming up now. Two conversations, and duck keeps coming up, you know, endangered species because of
why I had the duck and bacon sausage at mm-hmm. First Kush is probably the best tasting one. Yep. I went for the rabbit rattlesnake one. It's a little bit more gamey, a little spicier.
You know what? The thing about that is I feel like that's and I don't disagree with you. I've tried it, but you're buying the name.
Yes.
You're buying the fact, oh, hey, guess what, guys? I ate rattlesnake today. No one cares. Get yourself the Italian hot. Get yourself the kielbasa. Those are the better sausages.
You're right.
Yeah, they're not exciting. There's nothing sexy about telling people you ate an Italian hot wiener, but at the same time, they're better than the rattlesnake.
It's such a 21st century
loser guy thing that is the sort of thing that I do all the time. It's like our forefathers killed rattlesnakes with their bare hands to keep them and their family safe. I eat a rattlesnake wiener, and I think I'm tough.
Exactly. For you, it's great for your Instagram stories, Dave. I get it. That's
I'm sorry, I'm laying out.
Focus.
You're right.
That's your focus. It's for your Instagram stories. But for us, like when we're real foodies, like, and you know.
Plainly.
And
look at the two of you.
I never
had that one before. So I'm glad I tried the rattlesnake rabbit, but I probably won't go back to it. And the one last place that I brought my friends to was K-Town for some Korean barbecue. Because I feel like it's the, you know, K-Town is a huge section of Los Angeles. You have some of the best food there. And my friend's never been to it, never really. Didn't really know what goes on there. I'm like, it's great. It's kind of like a dinner slash activity because you're sitting down and you're basically cooking your own food. And I found a place, $22, all you could eat.
I'm going to write this down. Where
you go? It's on, it's called Road to Seoul. And
that's called Seoul.
Seoul, right. Yeah. I pronounce all the vowels. But but they, $22, no reservation, walked right in on a Monday, watched the national championship game. We just... you get three meats per round. You pick them. They give you the whole tray of just raw meat. They give you scissor. They give you the little, like the pincers to drop it down there. You cut up the meat, throw it on there. All different kind of sauces. You have the kimchi. You have the pickled like cabbage. You have all this different stuff.
Some trick that they've convinced everybody that it's a great treat and you should pay extra money so you can make the food.
Yeah, hold on a second. What are they doing for you? Just delivering the food?
That's it. And then they still want their tip.
They bring it to you, but then they see if you're cooking it like poorly.
I want some help.
Yeah, they're very.
I want some help at some point as well. I'm going to slip into a food coma, and I still want to be fed
or contract salmonella.
Myself, yeah, exactly.
No, they know if you're doing it wrong. So, like, I mean, we had different types of pork bellies, the beef brisket, beef ribs, short rib, all this kind of stuff, just thrown on the grill. And they come, they change the grill for you to give you a nice fresh grill each time.
Nice.
And then you have a couple of adult beverages with that. Oh, I mean, it's unbelievable. That's my favorite thing to do.
My favorite thing to do is to listen to you talk about when you eat food. And when you get as passionate as this, that my favorite next question to ask is, how much of this did you eat, Eddie? Like, how many rounds of meats did they deliver to you? 20s, 30s?
It was three of us. And we had three meats per round. I think we had five rounds. So we had 15 different...
That's less than I thought. I feel like you have maybe you just mentioned that it was $22 for all you can eat. I reckon there are probably five or six establishments in LA that you've been banned for. They were like, this is not a good investment. 22, but like, if you see this guy come in, tell him the price just went up to 32 bucks.
There are different levels of like how much you could pay. There's a $25 one. There's a $30-something
one. So what am I getting? What's extra?
You get better quality meat. Just like the fancier meats.
You were all about the volume.
Yeah, we didn't really want the full steaks. We just kind of wanted to get like the basic stuff that you know is good. It's going to deliver each time. So that was Monday
night. I think this has been a great first go round. I have to go. I have to.
No one asked you to stay.
Oh, okay. Then I'll go. Okay.
No, but so we like it when you're here.
I have to go. I actually have to get up and leave right now. I'm late for a meeting. You guys keep on talking to your heart's content. I have one philosophical question for you. When you get a lot of food and you realize, oh, we overordered at a place like a Korean barbecue where it's strips of raw meat.
Sure.
Obviously, you don't say, yeah, just put that in a doggy bag and we'll take that home. Do you feel that it's incumbent on you to eat every morsel of food or be like, I'm stuffed and I'm not animal, so I'm going to leave some back? You have to eat it all, but
they charge you.
I was in China last week. I actually went to the country of China, went to Shanghai, and it is rude to finish your food. If you finish the food, the impression that your hosts get is that they didn't feed you enough. So we went.
I don't like dumb
stuff.
We
had dinner.
Like that.
We had dinner. We were hosted for dinner, and there was a 12-course dinner, and there were some things you've never eaten before. I had pigeon soup. Have you ever had pigeon soup?
No, and I wouldn't want to.
Had fish eyes.
Yeah.
Oh no.
All kinds of stuff. Now there were some things I was willing not to finish.
And this was when Dr. Jones and company.
It was that kind of thing, exactly.
They
cut
possible.
Open a pregnant snake, and lots of babies slither out. What I wasn't clear on is, am I supposed to not finish every single one of the courses, or can I just not finish the ones that I didn't want to finish anyway? Because there were some that were delicious, and I was like, I want to finish it, but I wasn't clear on whether I could finish it or not.
Well, some of those places, they charge you. So in my head, I'm like, I have to finish them because I ordered it. I feel irresponsible if I don't finish my plate. Plus, it's like a sign of weakness.
Yes.
I want to make sure
I
eat all
my food.
Yeah,
you don't want to be the... Especially if you're with a group of friends, you don't want to be the one that didn't... You've got a reputation to uphold.
Exactly. So I'm doing my best to eat as much as possible, and then I will deal with the pain after. So I'm the kind of person, eat as fast. I also eat very fast. I eat too fast. My brain doesn't process exactly how much
how
food
much
I'm
you've
eating.
Eaten.
So I eat... It's almost uncomfortable that everyone else is like slowly eating their food, and like the waiter comes back like, oh, how is everything? They check on you like what's supposed to be mid-meal.
Right.
And then my plate's empty, and they're like, you were hungry? It's like, yeah.
But then that's the moment to order more.
Right, and I think I might have to start doing the double
That's
order.
Why, see, there are some people who will say that they don't like the idea of getting sharing plates, but they, they'd rather have their own thing. And I think that's seen as sort of macho, like, I don't want to have to share with anyone else. But the truth is, if you eat as quickly as you do, and I think I may be somewhat similar... What you can do then is use that as an opportunity to say, okay, I tried a little bit of everything. I want to double down on these two things. Mid-course, when everyone else is still eating and you finish, you can say, hey, can we get two more of those things? Then those are yours. So you get the benefit of, let's have seven different things that we're trying, but then you get to pick your two favorites and eat those.
Yeah, and I've been following the lines of what Dave always says, to order the wheel, get as many appetizers as possible. That more appetizers equals the more I get, then I know that, okay, I ate this amount, I'll be able to finish my meal and then not much else. Mm-hmm. So it's like the more appetizers I get is a way of me to not order a second entree, which is like going, sometimes I'm down that path where it's like I have to, which also reason why I love Korean barbecue, because you can just, it just keeps coming.
Right.
So then I don't feel weird. Like, oh, I ordered one steak. I ate the steak in 3.5 minutes. Everyone else is still eating their food. And then I'm just sitting here with my arms crossed. Like, well, what do I do now? Because I'm sorry, I'm twice your size. I'm still very hungry.
Exactly. I'm still hungry. I want to keep going.
Yeah. It's the cross I bear.
Can we talk about the idea that we had during our Thick Cast production meeting yesterday for a TV show? Hosted by your beautiful significant other.
Yes.
Called Eddie Eats Everything.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal idea. She works for Spectrum News around in Los Angeles, and she contacts restaurants and food stands and trucks and whatever you may sell your food or beverage item from, and she finds a way to make a story about it. And the show is called... is it Running on Empty, I think it's called? You watch if you have Spectrum local in Los Angeles.
Right.
Anyway, so she goes and contacts these places, and Dave's idea, and along with you, was to, instead of her eating the food when she tastes and reviews it and talks about it, I'm the one that goes with her.
Right, and the point being that a lot of these things, whether it's a TV show or like a newspaper review, they're always some. They'll tell you, I went to this restaurant, we had a great time, the service was good, I ate this, this, and this. Which is good, but it's like...
Not the full menu.
Who knows? Like, yeah. maybe you pick the three worst things or the three best things. What I want to know is someone who can tell me the full range of the menu. So the idea of Eddie Eats Everything is that you would go to a restaurant, eat every single item on the menu, and then provide a actual comprehensive review. And people just don't do that yet.
There have been a lot of times where the restaurant she's gone to, I've had questions about other items that she did not try, because sometimes what they'll do is usually they decide what they want you to try.
Of
and
course.
Show you, so they want you to have their best dish. And if you're going to a place that's known for tacos, you're going to get their best taco. If you're going to go to a barbecue place, they'll give you their best brisket and so on. But there are other times where the restaurant's just a known good restaurant. I'm going, oh, that's an interesting item. Did you have that? Like, no, they had to just try that. So, like, yeah, I want to be the person that tries the full menu and lets you know. The problem is, though, and it's the constant issue with me being a part of the Thick Cast, is I'm also trying to slim down and eat right, hit the gym. So it's like, well, now I have to go to this place and have 14 different entrees and 10 different appetizers and report back to my local Los Angelinos and all the listeners of the Thick Cast. It's like, well... This whole slim cast route of the gym and eating my greens and such,
that's
not really working so great.
I know, but if you're making a career and a life out of this, then I feel like that's beneficial. I think the thing that would be interesting is, you hear about the people who hand out the Michelin stars for restaurants.
Yeah.
They go in and it's a secret. They don't tell anyone they're coming, and they'll order whatever, and then then they go away, and you suddenly find out the next day, oh, those were the people. for you, if you got into this business and became well known for it, they would know that you were coming because you'd be the only person on, at any given restaurant that would order every single item on the menu. They'd be like, uh-oh, Eddie Eats Everything is here. And they'd know that a review was coming.
I used to do it as a kid too. I love breakfast food, and that was my favorite thing to order. And whenever I'd go out with my family, me and my brother would go out to get, like, we'd be sitting down, and I'd be like, all right, I want eggs, but I also want some toast, and I want some bacon. I'd be like, all right, James, like my brother, you get the sausage, and then whatever eggs you want, then let's figure out which, like, breakfast pastry type you're going to get. So, like, if I get the waffles, he'll get the pancakes, right, and then I'll get the French toast. And then you look for the combo items, and then we try to make sure that we had every breakfast item
you
covered.
So if you were doing this, it's going to be easy for
it
you.
Would be very, very easy.
Is your brother would he be, you know, thick?
He's huge. But he played D1 football, yeah.
Okay.
He's athletic, but he's a big, right, he's way bigger than me.
Can he eat more than you?
Yes.
Really?
He's large, yeah.
So if you guys went head to head,
it's bad for me. Bad news.
James Eats Everything would be more successful than Eddie Eats Everything.
Oh yeah, he has about an inch and right now probably about 50-60 pounds on me.
For now,
yeah. I'm trending towards him. He actually was slimming down post football career.
Maybe you can wave on the way past.
Yeah, no, I'm meeting him and he's coming. He's actually going to work from Nashville during the week of the draft. So I'm going to meet him there. And I know Nashville has a lot of those hot chicken places.
Yeah.
So that will be our time to hit up I wish you were coming to see us eat.
I wish I was too.
All the Zaxby's and all the hot chicken places.
But you can take Dave, and you know Dave will be able to eat a lot.
I think,
well,
he does all right. He for, you know, for a man of his stature, he does eat quite a bit.
Well, Dave's short but fat, so he can fit a lot in.
He does eat a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to get to, and we could save these other topics for another time.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about you go, people come to L.A. And you want to bring them to a place around L.A. I'm not from Los Angeles. Everyone knows I'm from New York. Obviously, you're not from Los Angeles. You're from England. Tell me, and we could both share, what's your favorite dish from where you grew up back home?
I would say the thing I always bring back here, I'm addicted to salty snacks, so crisps or chips.
Yeah.
I love, and America unfortunately is underserved in terms of the quality and flavors of chips. So I always bring those back. But actually the thing that I miss most, and the thing that I guess if I w- especially for you, that mm-hmm. if I was saying like, Eddie, you've got to try these two products, they're both related. They're kind of in the sort of snack food, kind of picnic food realm, but also bar food, bar snacks. One is a Scotch egg. I don't know if you know about a Scotch egg, but a Scotch egg is effectively a hard-boiled egg, which has then been encased in sausage meat.
Oh, wow.
Cold sausage meat. So you'll bite into, and then like breadcrumbed on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
So you bite into this bad boy and you chew it. It's actually what you were talking about. It's like a pocket breakfast, I guess. You could just slip that into your pocket and then you've got breakfast whenever you want. Albeit cold, but you're getting the sausage meat and you're getting the egg.
Why is it cold?
Well, because you couldn't. I mean, I guess you can have it warm. You could have it warmed up, but you don't want like a. They're kind of like they're something to take with you. They're a snack.
It's on the go. I got you.
So that's one of them, and then the other one, sort of somewhat related, and I think really feel like you would like this, is a pork pie. So a pork pie is again pork meat, but kind of like cold.
Okay.
And then congealed doesn't sound appetizing, but that's what it is, like, you know, pretty solid, surrounded by gelatin, so fat, and then with a delicious pastry crust. And you get a really good one of those if you know where to get them from. Don't, you know, you don't want to get the supermarket brand one, you want to get the really good ones. And you chop yourself a slice of that. You put a little mustard on there, or some mayonnaise, or mayonnaise and mustard, and that's hard to beat.
And you ship those over here. Or you, when you go back home, you grab.
I'll grab as many as I can eat when I'm back home. I'll bring some back with me, and then you can. I think I've never found a Scotch egg that's of the quality I would need in Los Angeles, and I don't think I've found a pork pie. But I bet you could if you know some of these stores that sell English produce, you could probably find something that was almost possible.
I need to make it over there and try these things.
Those are the two things that I think I would. You know, you were asking like what would you. But that was more specifically for you. Those are the things that I feel like you would like to try.
I would love to. Yeah, I wanted. I never been over there. I would never have guessed those right. items in hundreds of guesses. Myself would just be the easy answer is pizza, but I'm not going to go pizza because there's too many places where I'm going to try mm-hmm. that. There's only one place in Los Angeles that I found that is kind of close. To.
What is it?
Bay City's Deli does like deli style sandwiches, yeah. but there's I love when I go home and usually the first thing I do with either my with someone in my family or my friends and I head over to this place called Royal Crown Bakery and they do bakery stuff, but they're known for their breads, but they serve you sandwiches so you can get any kind of meat, any kind of cheese and stuff. So I usually just go get chicken cutlet. You get a little prosciutto, you get fresh mozzarella, roasted red peppers, a little balsamic vinaigrette on there. They have a soft bread and they have a hard bread and a nice big hero. And that's what me and my
that's
friends
a good...
do. That is what I probably miss the most. That's what I crave the most or think like it's just the best thing to have because you could have it for dinner. You could have it for lunch. They have the place itself serves, like I said, other baked goods. But they serve pizza as well, like coffees and lemonades. You could any meal of the day you want, you go there. That's the place that I do miss the most. That not a lot of places around here are similar to that. Like there are good places like Jones on Third is an example. Like I said, Bay City's already. They're very hardcore Italian. Right. They have like Italian goods you could buy, like almost like a market.
Exactly.
But it's still lacking. That's the one thing New York has. They're bigger on delis, and the delis around here are just Jewish delis, which are great, which I love. I live very close to Cantor's, and I go there quite a bit. But I do miss the Italian style bakery delis.
Is it unfair for me to say because I love those type of sandwiches, but sometimes I feel like I have to be one of those snakes that can dislocate their jaw get at them.
They're
like
so
they're just
big.
Too big. Like how am I supposed to tackle them?
Yeah.
I don't want to squash it down because then stuff starts coming out of the sides.
Yep.
Well, what do you do?
Yeah, recently I switched over to from the hard bread to the soft bread and then try to be a little bit healthier if I'm going to go there. And I'll switch from the fried eggplant and the fried chicken to the grilled chicken, the grilled eggplant. So that drops the size dramatically. Yeah. And then you're ready to go and you can take it out to town. Like one of those sandwiches will fill you for quite a bit. They are filling. Mm-hmm. They definitely pack on enough on there. But, I think if I do go home very soon, I will probably try to get there and get as many of those over here. Cause I know people that do send out you could send out like frozen pizza and you could like freeze bagels or you put them in like a vacuum seal. The two New York things I know a lot of people send
people
out here.
Do
but
that.
You can't, I don't think you're really going to send a full sandwich out
that's
here.
That's not going to work.
With all like liquids on oils and vinegar, it's not going to work.
I do have a sandwich actually I missed from London. So there was a place when the NFL office where I worked in London was in one location. There was a sandwich store right next door and I used to go in there every day. This was maybe... More than 10 years ago, I used to go in there every day. There was a crazy, crazy woman behind the counter called Maria, who would serve you. And then her sons were all the guys who would make the sandwiches for you. Every single day for probably 3 years, I would go in there and I would get, and I never understood why I was getting so fat. And now I do on ciabatta, like a foot long ciabatta, which had bacon and avocado. And that was the sandwich was like smashed avocado with bacon inside all cut up and then mayonnaise and then you'd have it with a little pepper and they'd always like do you want lettuce, tomato, and I'd be like no, none of that. I got the same thing every day. I'm really not kidding for 3 years that's all I ate every day for lunch. And I've been going back to London with my job. I go there. First of all, Maria greets me with a kiss every single time I go in there. She loves me. And the guys behind the counter 10 years later don't even ask what I want. They just make it for me. And I was stunned. They said, where have you been? We haven't seen you for ages. I was like, I haven't been here for 8 years. This is when I first went back. They haven't been there for 8 years. They treat it like they hadn't seen me for 2 weeks and just made the sandwich for me. And I missed, that's a sandwich I missed, but you can't eat that as often as I was.
I wish I was. That's one thing I strive for is to be a regular somewhere.
I was I was a regular. I still am, despite the fact I live in Los Angeles, which is crazy.
That's
a good place.
Yeah, that's awesome. A regular at a sandwich place, or like even like a bar, and you walk in like hey, and
they just know what you
slide
want.
A drink. Like I don't have that. I think I try. I don't know if it's because no one likes me or I try too many different places, but that's something to strive for. That's pretty.
It's a tiny little place, smaller than this podcast studio.
It's
the store,
and. And you guys, where you're from, and they're known for sandwiches?
No, that just happened. I mean, it's a great sandwich place, and I've since discovered that they are known for sandwiches, and lots of people will go out of their way to go there. But no, it's a sandwich place that could do you any type of sandwich you can think of. That's just the one that I always liked.
Too many people,
bacon, avocado, and ciabatta.
Too many people poo-poo the whole, the food from England. But I'm keeping an open mind. I want to.
When
try
we
this
get up. You there, Eddie, we'll change your mind.
I really want to make the trip.
Also, because it's London, because it's like LA or New York or any of these cities, like it's cosmopolitan. You can get any type of food you want, and you'll get the highest end of that food as well. But probably the one that you would like, and actually talking about food that I miss, great Indian food. I feel like you would embrace that.
No, I'm
really?
Out of that. Yeah. Last night, my girlfriend brought home from a shoot, and I actually spit it out. I won't say where it's from, what I had, but I don't like it. So
yeah,
one
but
thing I
see,
don't do.
But see, that's my point, is that L.A. has not ever been able to deliver me any kind of, like, remotely good Indian food. So I wouldn't rule it out, because I could take you somewhere which would change your mind.
What food item upsets you the most from L.A. that you can't find here? Is it the Indian food?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. I think for me it'd be pizza.
But surely you
pizza.
Found something. I've yeah,
Chicago course. Style. Chicago style. I found one over in Silver Lake, but nothing. No New York style. I have not.
Really?
Yeah.
But tell me, like, how different can it be? Like, I've had New York pizza, which is supposed to be great.
In
New
Manhattan?
York pizza.
Manhattan is the worst borough for pizza.
Yeah, well, that's probably where I had it.
Yeah, but. It stinks. You got to go to Brooklyn, Queens, or Staten Island.
Okay.
I wouldn't lie to you. I'm telling you the
no,
truth.
No, I'm with you.
I'm not going to go slander these places. I've been around. I've heard the popular spots, and there's still more I have to try. And I don't try to eat pizza that often. Again, trying to, slim cast instead of thick cast. But the ones I've had are just like, and people here, and they spend, $20 a pie, and they're like, oh, this is good. And I'm like, you really don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know. But, I mean, whatever. I think we hit all the topics I wanted for today. Should we do like Twitter questions? Try to get some Twitter questions
next time? Yeah, that's a good
idea. Next time we record the ThickCast, get some of our listeners to, people wanted for ages. So now they have their chance. They could give us a topic to weigh in on. I'm fine with that.
Let's do that.
All right, cool.
I'm hungry, Eddie. Let's go eat. That's how we should end every show. Let's go eat.
Let's go eat.